Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and we would love to take just a moment to invite you to come and be with us if you are in the Boone area. And you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to come by. And we have Sunday school Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m. We have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org, and you can go there and find service times. You can find church address, all of those things. And we'd love for you to come and visit. We do have many visitors throughout the year. And some come just during the summertime. That's all right with us. We just want you to know that that is available. But this is the Blessings of Liberty, and it's a unique radio broadcast. I was thinking about it yesterday. Blessings of Liberty is a radio broadcast. We have one pastor with one text, Leviticus 25, verse number 10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And actually, I've been pretty much preaching one message for over 4 years now, and that is the glorious message of liberty. So we're very happy to be here today, and in just a moment, we're going to continue with our current study on the Bill of Rights. First of all, it's Easter break, and Noah's here today, and he's not been with us in a while. He's going to school and working all the time. So, Noah, I'm glad you're here today. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. It's nice to be back here and able to hear the message this morning.
Good. Appreciate that.
And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia, and also those listening in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners. And once again, I'm glad to have Noah in the radio studio today. And I really appreciate all he does. He really helps me out a great deal on the radio ministry, not just this broadcast, but we do have another daily broadcast. And it's called the Old Paths Broadcast. And he does a lot of work to help me keep everything in line and for make it sound good and everything. So, no, I really appreciate that. If you are a regular listener, you know we've been studying the past few weeks the Bill of Rights. We're going to continue on with that study today. We are just getting started, especially the First Amendment is, of course, what we've been looking at so far the past 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm just going to take a moment to read it again. There are actually 5 parts to the First Amendment, and every time you have a comma, you have a different thought, not a different thought, but it expands, I guess would be a good way to put it. But it says, first of all, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That's the first part. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That's the second. Or abridging the freedom of speech. That's the third. A lot of people would just associate the First Amendment with freedom of speech. Well, it's right there in the middle. Then it says, or of the press. That's the fourth. Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And so there's the fifth part of the First Amendment that we've been looking at. I was thinking about this as I was studying for today's radio broadcast. Have you read the Bill of Rights? I'm asking a question this morning. Most people, I would say, the great majority are probably not familiar with the first 10 amendments, but just think about it a little bit this morning. Have you read the Bill of Rights? If you did, I just read the first one. They desired a guarantee for free speech, freedom of religion. The Second Amendment is an amendment that has to do with the subject of keeping and bearing arms. This is not just for a National Guard or an Army or a Navy, but this is the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Third Amendment has to do with the subject of soldiers in a time of peace just coming into your house and making themselves at home, kicking you out. That's what the Third Amendment has to do with. The Fourth Amendment has to do with the subject of unreasonable search and seizure. You know, an American citizen ought to be able to go about their business as long as they're not bothering anybody, and they should be able to do that unmolested, meaning you shouldn't feel like you're a criminal. If you go to a sports event, if you get on a plane, if you get on a train, if you get on a bus, if you're driving down the road, where in the Constitution does it give the government the right to pull you over, look at your papers, go through your effects, go through your automobile? These things are unconstitutional. You should be able to travel unmolested. This is the Fourth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment has to do with the government stealing your life, liberty, or property. There's an amendment that deals with that. The Sixth Amendment guarantees the right to a speedy and public trial. They didn't want things being done in private. They wanted to make sure everything was out in the open so people could keep a check on, keep an eye on things that were going on. So they wanted a right to a speedy, not something that's been drug out for 20 or 30 years, and honestly, a lot of things are, but that it would be speedy and that it would be public. Well, if you read the first 10 amendments, if you didn't know better, you would think that these people did not trust their government. Or you might get the impression that they had a very bad experience with the previous government, and they had had a bad experience with the previous government. Now, actually, both those statements are true. They did not trust the present, and they did not trust the past governments. The Declaration of Independence, I think everybody ought to, this ought to be required reading about once a month. That would help you to get a proper mindset concerning freedom in America and what it stands for. Read the Declaration of Independence. Let me just point out some things. They'd had a bad experience with their previous government. And it begins when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary. This had went on, but it became necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another. I'm going to skip on down. Most people know this part of the Declaration, that to secure these rights, it's just been talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that came from our Creator, these unalienable rights, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government. It goes on down. They said experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. We're very reluctant to change what we're used to. But when it becomes insufferable and something has to be done, they said we have the right to do something. Said, but when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. And it goes on. They had had a bad experience with their former government. That was being a subject of Great Britain and King George. Well, in the Bill of Rights, this is after the Constitution, the first time they met together and ratified the Constitution, the Bill of Rights was presented. And the reasons why they wanted a Bill of Rights are laid out before the Ten Amendments. It says the conventions of a number of the states, having at the time of their adopting the Constitution, expressed a desire in order to prevent misconstruction or abuse of its powers, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. And so you know what they did at the very outset of the ratification of the United States Constitution? They put in place the Bill of Rights to prevent abuse of power. Now, they had enough wisdom. They didn't say, we're going to trust everybody. We're sure they'll do the right thing. No, that's not what they did. They said at the very outset, basically what the Constitution, it's a restrictive document, and the Bill of Rights, further restrictive. They said at the very beginning, we do not trust the government. We want to make sure that there are sufficient guards in place so that we do not become oppressed and that this does not happen again. Let me say that again. Our forefathers did not trust the government. They didn't trust the government. They just fought with to gain their independence. And they did not trust this brand new, a lot of people would say brand new, give them the benefit of the doubt. No, sir. They did not trust this brand new form of government. History to me is, I mean, it was always my favorite subject in school, right behind physical education. I have to admit I enjoyed PE more, but as far as the academic part of it, I enjoyed history. And I love it, and I love to study it and read about it. And somebody said the other day they had a book they wanted me to read. Listen, between my Bible reading and the books I've already got stacked up that I'll never get read in this lifetime, I'll probably not get to it. But I love to study, especially this time period of history. You can find so much. We're not talking about ancient history. We're talking about recent history. There are books full of letters from James Madison, James Madison's correspondence. Now, he was the father of the Constitution. And before it was ratified, many gentlemen wrote to him concerning the Constitution and the subject of religious liberty. I want to read just a couple of excerpts from some of these letters of James Madison's. Now, Mr. James Gordon Jr. wrote to him February 17th, 1788, and this is all concerning the ratifying of the Constitution. Mr. Gordon's letter said in part, the sentiments of the people of Orange, and he's talking about Orange County, Virginia. And last week, you may remember, I told you about a pastor, John Leland. He was probably the most famous Baptist preacher in Virginia at that time for sure, and a long time after that, James Leland. He fought for the Bill of Rights. And so Mr. Gordon said the sentiments of the people of Orange are much divided. The best men, in my judgment, are for the Constitution, but several of those who have much weight with the people are opposed. And he talks about some of these men, Parson Bledsoe and Leland. That's talking about John Leland with Colonel Z. Burnley. Upon the whole, sir, I think it is incumbent upon you without delay to repair to this state, as the loss of the Constitution in this state may involve consequences the alarming to every citizen of America. He said a lot of people are for it, but men who have great weight with the people are not for it. And one of those men was John Leland. John Leland, the Baptist preacher, he was concerned about a Bill of Rights, especially concerning civil and religious liberty. Well, let me read from another letter. This is from John Spencer to James Madison, February 28, 1788. He said, dear sir, Colonel Thomas Barber offers as a candidate for our March election amongst his friends appears, and I'm reading it the way it's written, in a general way, the preachers of that society are much alarmed, fearing religious liberty is not sufficiently secured. I read on down. He was afraid that the Baptist preachers were afraid that religious liberty was not secured. Isn't that interesting? This is from Mr. Edmund Randolph to James Madison. He said, "My dear friend, the Baptist interest and the counties on the south side of the James River from Isle of Wight upwards are highly incensed by Henry's opinions." This is talking about Patrick Henry. "And public speeches, his opinions and public speeches, whensoever occasion has presented." Now, Patrick Henry was an anti-federalist. He was not for a bigger federal government. And one unique thing about Patrick Henry many times defended Baptist preachers who had been put in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Patrick Henry knew very well. Now, he was a Presbyterian, but he was a great Christian gentleman, and he had defended these Baptist preachers and their right to preach the gospel without being molested, arrested, fined, put in prison, all of these things. So when Patrick Henry had something to say, since he had taken up for religious liberty, the Baptist people listened to him. It carried weight with them. Here's part of a letter from a man named Burgess Ball to James Madison. He said, "For the interest of our country, you must take some trouble, however disagreeable it may be to you. Anxious indeed that you would come in without delay." He's writing a letter for James Madison to come where he was. He said, "Upon the whole, the Baptist interest seems everywhere to prevail." And so you have to realize there was a great revival in the South. This is why the Bible Belt is the Bible Belt. And this great number of people being converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they joined Baptist churches. They seen the Bible taught that they were to be baptized after they believed, not as infants before they believed. So the Baptist principles he's talking about, it affected the mindset of the people. I have a history book that says American principles are Baptist principles. And if you study that out, you will find that to be true. Here's another letter. This is from the pastor, John Leland, to James Madison, 15th of February, 1789. That congratulates him on his appointment as a representative of Congress. He said, "One thing I shall expect, that if religious liberty is anywise threatened, that I shall receive the earliest intelligence. I take the liberty of writing thus to you, lest I should not be at home when you pass by on your way to Congress." Isn't that interesting? Now, I have taken time to share some of these letters. There's many more. They're very interesting to me. But I think we need to take time to learn about some of these things, because most people have no idea how important our First Amendment rights are. And most people have no idea that it was the Baptist people first and foremost that fought for these essential rights. Most people probably do not realize how anti-freedom our society has become. Anti-free speech. I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and I've seen it for years, but I'd sort of forgot about it. But it said, "I love my country, but I fear my government." You know, you could have had that bumper sticker in 1774, 1775, 1780, 1789. I mean, this idea has been around a long time. I love my country, but I fear my government. I think more and more people are coming around to the idea and seeing that there is a freedom movement right now in America. Now, you're not going to hear about it on the mainstream media. You're not going to hear about it on CBS or Fox or NBC, except it would be in a negative light. But thank God there is a liberty movement. There is a freedom movement. people are waking up in America and beginning to see that the government, by and large, has become overreaching of its original intention. And so you have a lot of people that are reading and learning what the Constitution actually says, and they see that the government is overreaching, that it is actually oppressive to the idea of individual freedom, liberty, civil liberty, religious freedom. It is becoming very authoritarian. It is becoming tyrannical. If you have kept up with what has gone on out in Nevada and the Bundy family, and I don't have time today, or do not have time to get into that, but it's a good example of a tyrannical government, overreaching, oppressive. The beast of the government needs to be reined in, or it will consume all of us. In order for there to be any correction without violence in our country, the First Amendment is essential. We must have freedom of speech. If we're going to have any correction in our country concerning the overreach of the federal government, there must be freedom of speech. Now, I've got just a few minutes left. Let me give you an example of how freedom of speech is curtailed in America. Now, this is why our tax code will never be it'll never be changed. It'll never be overhauled. This tool that is used to squelch free speech in America is an overt tool. It is done covertly in our country to keep people in line concerning their free speech. There's a way to control the masses without really even saying a word. And it affects the politicians. It affects people in the news media. It affects companies, CEOs, pastors, churches, individuals. Now, the control tool that I'm talking about, you probably have already guessed it, but what I'm talking about is the IRS. The IRS came into being in 1913, so 2013 is celebrating 100 years with the world's biggest bully. Now, I really believe that with all of my heart. Nobody wants to become a target of the IRS, and it's been used down through the years by both political parties to silence political enemies, or what was perceived to be political enemies. It's in the headlines right now. The IRS has been used to silence the voice of the Tea Party people. Politicians do not want to get into it with the IRS. They could become targeted. They do not want to be audited. Churches, pastors quake in their shoes over the prospect of losing their so-called, what they think, tax-exempt status. Media types, they don't want to get into it and tell the truth about the IRS and the tax bully system that we have now in America. I was listening to a little bit this past week on the news, and they were talking about the situation out in Nevada and the Bundy family. And they were saying, oh, well, they've got some good points, but now they really need to pay their taxes. Well, it's not even taxes that they have accused them of not paying. But you see, they're never going to come out against the tax system because they might get targeted. Even your people out here that, I mean, they go above and beyond to pay their taxes, to do everything on the up and up, probably pay more than they should. They don't want to get involved with the IRS. They realize that even the idea of an investigation or an audit by the IRS is going to make your life miserable. It is going to consume your very existence. You're probably going to find out that you're doing something wrong that you didn't even know that you were doing wrong, because the tax system, the tax code, is so involved that I don't think there's anybody in America that really understands or is an expert upon it. It is too complicated. It is too, it's like a spider's web. And people realize that if they get into it with the IRS, they could lose everything they have and get no recourse whatsoever. It comes down to it. That's the nightmare of a bureaucracy, is that there's really not a person. You're fighting a system. You're fighting paperwork. You're fighting regulations. You're fighting people call you and you cannot call them back. It is a nightmarish, bullying system that we have in America that keeps people, all people, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, it does not matter, that it keeps people in line. And it keeps people from saying the things that really need to be said. And people say, oh, that doesn't bother me. That doesn't scare me. Yes, it does. Or there would be more of an outcry against what is going on in our country. Well, time is quickly slipping away. There are ways to control and silence the masses that the government uses. There's the NSA and government spying. I've said and talked about these things for years, but now it's in the forefront. Now even the government talks about how they're spying on American citizens. Well, they assure us that they will not abuse the powers that they have. That ought to make you feel better. When's the last time you flew and went through the TSA and the nightmare there? I used to love to fly, love to travel. I hate it. I hate to go to the airport. I hate to go through the rigmarole. I did go through a scanner last time. I wish now I wouldn't have. But I'm telling you, it's a nightmare. TSA, the BLM, on and on. Homeland Security, we could go today. Well, we could ask ourselves the question, are you really free to say what needs to be said? Are you really free to do what you want to do? Now, I know there's a limit to that. We're not talking about breaking the law, but are you really free? The Bible talks about a day. It talks about the Antichrist, a one-world ruler that would come. And one of the things he does is makes people criminals for the things that they say. Isaiah 29:21, that make a man an offender for a word, a lawbreaker for what they said, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate. That's somebody, a political leader. And turn aside the just for a thing of naught. There's coming a day, if we don't pay attention, where free speech will be outlawed. Well, our time is quickly come and gone. Noah's going to come, give the contact information. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org. You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone.